Desconocido by Mario Minx. Read by Mario Minx. Percy sees the mark not 2 days after she receives it. He is livid. Ginny can hear the Avada on his tongue as he jerks her aside. His face is close to hers as he quietly seethes. Have you gone mad? What if it hadn't been me who'd seen the mark, but Mother, or worse, even Ron? Her mouth is open and she stares up at him, unblinking, not understanding. He shakes her. I mean the Dark Lord no respect, but it was foolish to take you without at least teaching you how to be careful. You're, she gapes. He nods impatiently. However did you figure that out? Was it the fact that you're still alive? Get a hold of yourself, sister. She blinks, shakes her head, and is composed. Show me, she says, indicating his arm. He holds her gaze and wordlessly lifts his sleeve. Her face is utterly motionless, but he thinks he feels a vague sense of interest from her. When? She asks quietly. There is nothing in her voice but blank curiosity, and Percy suddenly knows that his sister had passed the final test with flying colors. He imagines her raising her wand, the words slipping so easily from her tongue, the body falling graciously to the ground, and he is overcome with a lust deeper than he had previously thought possible. He is heady with the exhilaration of darkness. Her hands are on his mark, and she smirks coldly at him, reminding him unpleasantly of Bellatrix. Then his memory slides to more palatable memories of the woman, and Ginny whispers, "Bet I'm better." His eyes widen slightly before he can catch himself. She laughs softly. "It's written on your face, brother," she murmurs, and suddenly every line of her body screams sex, and he doesn't know what he's doing. "No," he gasps. "It's wrong." "As wrong as this?" Her finger tracks the outline of his dark mark. She laughs again. "You were in no position to lecture me about right and wrong." Her hands snake up his chest, and Percy stands transfixed, mesmerized by the unfamiliar light in her eyes. Her tiny, nimble fingers skim over his shoulders, neck, entangling themselves in his hair, pulling him down to her. She kisses him, full of fire and domination, while smoke and poison and darkness. When she finally pulls away, his breath is ragged. "Better than Bellatrix?" she smacks. He smirks back and kisses her again, in control this time. Her lips are spicy with an unknown flavor, and she moans as he licks them and pushes his way inside, plunging her mouth. Her body melts into his, soft curves pressing into hard planes. "Want you," she gasps when he breaks away. "Not here," he replies, grasping her hands and reveling in her mussed hair, flushed cheeks, and swollen lips. "Follow me." He pulls her along, half stumbling in haste. Reaching his chambers, he pushes her inside. "Percy," Ginny whispers as he shuts the door behind them, hands sliding possessively over her small body. She fumbles with his belt and grins up at him as it falls open in her hands. "My, aren't we anxious," she remarks before he captures her mouth with his again. His hand has found her mark again, thumb running over the skull. His other hand is divesting her of clothing as his tongue continues to explore her mouth. He feels her grin against his mouth and he growls as he pulls back. Her head is thrown back, utterly wanton under his smoldering gaze. This time, it's his voice that's mocking. Imagine, the girlfriend of the boy who lived being fucked against a wall by her brother, Death Eater and right hand of the Minister of Magic. Her grin grows wider and her teeth glisten in the half-light of his chambers. She has rid him of his trousers and robe, and it is a short matter to remove his pants as well. "Percy," Ginny gasps again, and it is his turn to grin as he buries himself in her. He stills for a moment and allows her to see the thoughts flicking across the surface of his mind. She has the grace to blush before pushing herself against him and spurring him onward. She mews as he moves his hips in tight movements, leaving them both gasping for breath. His hands are gripping her shoulders, and red outlines of bruises to come to form beneath his fingers. "Please," she whispers. "Please what?" he smirks. She will not get off easily. The punishment for revealing the dark mark to the uninitiated is high. "What do you want me to do?" "Fuck," she bites out. "Please." "You'll have to be more specific," he taunts, grinding into her. She keens and bites her lip. "Fuck me, please. Percy, hard." Percy grins, quickening the pace a little, but not enough to allow her to come. "Oh no, Ginny, I think I'll make you wait." She bucks, frustrated and infuriated, burying him as deeply into herself as he will allow. It's hard for him to hold back, but he has a few things he wants to ask her. He catches her hands, scrabbling at his chest, and pins them above her head. She winces at the pull, but quickly forgets the pain as he lowers his mouth to her throat. She dances against him, desperate to increase the speed. He nips her collarbone and hisses, "Control, Ginny. Control yourself." She whines but stills, body strumming with strained muscles. He rewards her obedience by picking up the pace somewhat, grinding against her, He can feel her body begin to tighten around him as he whispers. Imagine my surprise when Bellatrix came into my bed and told me that my baby sister had joined the Death Eaters. He trails his tongue up the side of her neck and she shudders. She told me how you stumbled into the circle with Nymphadora's head tucked into your arm, blood staining your hands. How did it feel, sister? Did she scream? He nips her earlobe. Did she call you evil, repulsed by the darkness in you? Ginny hisses as he clamps down on the flesh beneath her ear. How did you do it, little sister? Did Remus let you in, pretending not to know what you were doing? Did he drop the dagger on the table and excuse himself? Imagine, Dumbledore's pet werewolf, Fenrir's little protege. It was service to our lord, Ginny gasps, or death at the hands of the ministry. He murmurs. True, but aren't Gryffindors supposed to value what's right over saving their own skins? The irony in his voice was another rich laugh from her throat. He grins in response and returns to his ministrations, thrusts coming in shorter bursts. Her legs have slid up around his hips, effectively pinning herself between Percy and the door. The bones in her spine creak as he pulls her arms up further, pounds into her harder. Ginny is no longer looking at him now. Instead, her eyes are fixed on his left forearm above her face, twisted in lascivious pleasure. Did you scream when he marked you? She asks, the non sequitur making his blood boil and causing him to lose all semblance of control. He growls and drops her wrists, hands coming down to grasp her ass and carry her across the room to the bed. He doesn't quite throw her down, following her down with his cock still more or less between her legs, but she grins up at him and stretches like a cat, bouncing lightly on the bed. Who would have known that the chivalrous little Percy Weasley likes manhandling pretty young things into his bed? He thrusts into her again, snapping, "You talk too much," but unable to resist replying, and who thought that dainty little Ginevra Weasley would have a thing for ghastly tattoos of snakes and skulls? "Touché," she says, gasping as she clenches around him, pulling him deeper. His balls slap against the insides of her thighs, and he can feel his body begin to wind tightly, feel the tension in her arms as he presses her further into the bed. Her right hand has come up again to play with his dark mark, and it's too much as he spills himself into her and feels her clench around him. They lie there another moment, catching their breath, Ginny's hand still roving over the tattoo. Percy hears the noise and turns toward the door as it clicks shut, heart stopping as a figure turns toward them. The face is obscured, but the mark on his arm is vivid as he strips his shirt off. "Starting without me, I see," is the amused chuckle, and Ginny giggles as Percy feels his heart stop, looking into bright green eyes.